Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Dave, how many of my chocolate chip cookies have you had to eat so far? And now what are you eating? Those are two completely separate questions.
Three of your cookies.
And only three? I feel like every time I look at you, you're eating cookies. So only three of my chocolate chip cookies. And how many of your other cookies?
I don't know if only is the right word. That's a lot of cookies in 2 hours.
You told me you were going to eat seven, did you not?
There's still 2 hours left in the show.
That's true. It's a good point. We've only gone past the midway point. Meanwhile, Chris is eschewing my brand new homemade chocolate chip cookies. He swears he's going to have one. I'm watching him like a hawk. He swears he's going to have one after we get through Ask Amy Anything, which comes up 30 minutes from now. So you can send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I don't understand the logic there, except potentially Chris believes he will burn calories thinking really hard during Ask Amy Anything. Hey, I am always starving when I get done with this show. I do believe that I'm not only burning calories with the constant talking with my hands and moving around in my chair, because I'm a fidgeter. I don't sit still. And you know I talk with my hands because I frequently bang the microphone. But also, thinking this hard, it burns calories as well. Plus, it keeps your brain active. It's good stuff. And the NFL makes my brain have to perform at light speed, for heaven's sakes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I've got some fun nerd alerts coming up for you in the next few minutes about the Browns adding Odell Beckham Jr. In the meantime, I appreciate so much of your reaction. You clearly are as excited about the fireworks on New Year's Eve as I am. So you can find me on Twitter or on our Facebook page. Either one is fine. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're also closing in on Selection Sunday here in the sports world, the center ring of the circus, if you will. March Madness officially kicks off with the NCAA selection show, and CBS, boom, CBS has the big reveal and breaks down the brackets. That's before we get on the air, but we'll be doing the same on Sunday night. You can find out if your team is in and where your team is headed Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on CBS. And again, we will have our post-selection Sunday show right here on CBS Sports Radio. In fact, Jerry Palm, who will be part of the hullabaloo on Big CBS, will be here in studio once he's done. And so we're looking forward to that. We're going to have player and coach reaction here on the show, as we always do, kind of a blowout show to help you get ready with your brackets. And don't forget, we have the After Hours Bracket Challenge. We'll put that link up tomorrow. We got a lot going on tonight, but we'll put that link up on tomorrow's show, so 24 hours from now, and then you can line up early. I know how you guys are. Actually, you are much more like me in that you procrastinate and wait until the last second, and then you forget to save your brackets, and all hell breaks loose because you don't understand why you're eliminated in round number one. Save it. It's like the answer to everything. Why didn't it work? Because you didn't save it. Why did it disappear? Because you didn't save it. It's going to be the reminder. I'm going to nag you about saving your brackets for the next week. Because actually this time next week, we will have a couple of games already in the books from Dayton. So the first four from the round of 68 will already be in the books. But you get those in the brackets. I love that. As much as NCAA tries to convince us that those are actual tournament games, which I treat them as tournament games. If you win, you advance. Survive and advance, baby. Who cares? And actually, if you're a lower seed and you get the chance to play in Dayton, I feel like very often you work out some of the initial jitters, especially if you're a team that's got an automatic bid that hasn't been on the stage before. And you get the national spotlight to yourself. There's only two games, and they're played in doubleheaders on Tuesday and Wednesday, which means you have the entire nation watching. So, yes, they are legit tournament games, but it's sort of funny that the brackets just give you those games. They don't actually expect you to pick them. So maybe we should change the bracket challenge, and then people will stop saying they're play-in games. 855-212-4227, and also Facebook and Twitter. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Before we get back to football, did you guys see the story that broke on Tuesday? This blows me away. About a nationwide scheme that involved parents, clearly parents with a lot of money, paying hefty bribes to get their kids into elite universities. Stanford and Yale, two of the schools involved, but there are others. And there are some high-profile actresses and actors in the group of people who were arrested or indicted. Do you guys know who Lori Loughlin is? I mean, she was part of Full House, right? But I mean, she's a very accomplished actress. She and her husband, listen to this, accused of paying $500,000 so their two daughters could actually be treated like they were recruits to the USC crew team. So get this, they didn't ever row, they didn't participate in the sport, but they were treated as recruits. They were labeled as recruits because recruits have a better chance of getting admitted to a university than students who are not recruited athletically. So they just paid $500,000 to have their daughters treated like they were rowing recruits. Holy crap. Are you kidding me? So that was, again, that's Lori Loughlin. You can Google her. She was on Full House, Fuller House, la, la, la. Anybody who watched Desperate Housewives, I did. I saw every single episode. Felicity Huffman, who is also an extremely accomplished actress. And what about her husband, William H. Macy? They're also indicted. In fact, Huffman was arrested on Tuesday. Oh my gosh. So this group of parents, dozens of them, were bribing college entrance exam administrators and bribing university athletic coaches. Okay, so you've got two groups here. You've got the entrance exam administrators who were allowing the wrong people to take the exams in place of the student that was the subject of the bribe. Okay, so it would be someone else who is posing it that as that student who was taking the exam to get a higher grade, a higher score. So SATs, ACTs, blah, blah, blah. So think about the number of people involved. And they thought this would never get out. You've got the people who are paying the bribes. You've got the people who are taking the bribes. You've got the young people who are taking the tests and probably getting paid to take the tests and pose as someone else. Essentially, they were surrogates. So you've got administrators who are setting up these exams. And you may remember, if you ever took the SAT, for instance, you show up usually on a Saturday at your school or a school in your area. It's an empty school. You all go into a big room. Your exam is timed. There are a lot of students from other schools usually that are there as well. It's a tense atmosphere. I totally get it. Whatever. Suck it up. Take the exam. So you've got these administrators who are the ones responsible for checking in the students as they come in to take the exams, who are allowing imposters to pass on their scores for people who weren't going to be able to score as well. And then you have coaches who are being paid to take applicants and treat them like they were recruits, even if they had no athletic ability and didn't plan on playing the sport. $500,000. Are you kidding me? And then the money was paid through a charity, money laundering, essentially, to get it to the people that it was supposed to go to for the bribes and to throw investigators off the scent. Oh my gosh. So anyway, these are just two of the actresses, two of the big names. There are other names that are involved. I can't get over it. Is it so bad that your son or daughter can't actually do the work, take the exam himself or herself, and just get into the university that fits his or her abilities and skills? I'm blown away by this. First of all, I can't imagine spending $500,000 when you still have to pay for college. But also, $500,000 in a bribe and you didn't think there was any chance that that freaking money trail was going to come back to bite you in the ass? Oh my gosh. In the United States of America, the things we do with our money. You know when they tell you that not everything is for sale? That's actually not true. You can buy anything if you have enough money in the United States. Anything's for sale. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, I'm done, but I'm still flabbergasted. Casey is listening in Atlanta. Casey, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how you doing, Amy?
I'm good, thank you.
First time caller, I just wanted to say I love your show. I just wanted to talk about Russell Westbrook. I actually tried to call last night after I heard a couple of the callers call in, and I just can't understand how people forget that these athletes are humans first. And people do it not only with athletes, but with celebrities. And I just want to say, like, Westbrook deserved to get fined. That's part of the NBA rules.
Yep.
But at the same token, these fans, just people in general, they need to have the common respect that you would show anybody else at their workplace.
Right.
Even if I go to the strip club, because I'm here in Atlanta, and it's one at every corner, it's certain things you can't do.
I don't want to know.
Thing.
Okay, but I don't want to know.
No. I'm not going there. But it's certain things
just
you can't
do. Just as an example, he says.
Anybody. And everybody, as not just a man, but it's a certain respect that you should want for yourself and for other people to show you. And I just want all the listeners, all the whoever's listening, just remember that, because our world is becoming very dark right now, and we need more love and caringness and just, you know, peace.
I would agree.
And that's all I got to say.
We need more compassion. We need more empathy. And here's the general rule that I live by, KC, and I think not far be it from me to tell anybody else how to live their life, but I try to live by this rule. Treat other people how you want to be treated. That's a pretty safe rule. Treat other people how you want to be treated.
And like I said, I'm a first-time caller, and hopefully I'll get a chance to call back in. But I love listening to your show, and have a blessed night.
Thank you, Casey. Good to talk to you in Atlanta, even if you did bring up strip clubs on every corner. I was like, I don't want to know. Don't tell me.
You good, Amy.
All right, Casey. Have a good night. That was the best laugh ever. Wait, can Casey just call some more just so he can laugh? That was fantastic. Also, if you could have seen my face when he mentioned strip clubs in every corner, Dave and I exchanged looks. I'm proud to say I've never been inside a strip club. I mean, I've seen them on TV a lot because I am a crime drama nut, but I have never been inside a strip club. Any kind of strip club. If there's more than one kind, I just want you to know. I don't need to know what happens in there. I'm all good. Again, they depict it very well on crime dramas all the time. Chicago PD, they frequently end up in strip clubs. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Don sent me this tweet, so I'll read it in case I got the details wrong. He says, I think William H. Macy was questioned but not charged. It was different, however, for his wife, Felicity Huffman. So I apologize if I misspoke. I was kind of regurgitating details that I had read from earlier in the day. So, lots of thoughts on NFL free agency. Happy New Year. Make sure you find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, if you would like to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And then also on our Facebook page, because that's coming up 20 minutes from now. Thanks so much for tuning in. Having fun on this hump show. Even Chris, who refuses to eat the chocolate chip cookies that I brought. Yes, you should send him tweets and tell him how it's really ungracious to not try the cookies that I baked especially for him. Thank you, Dave. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
There are people that come to the game and to say mean, disrespectful thing about me, my family. For many years, man, I've done all the right things. I've never done anything to hurt or harm anybody. I've never been in any trouble. I've never fought a fan. Been in the league 11 years. Clean slate.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Russell Westbrook did take a hit to his wallet for threatening to F up a fan in Utah and his girlfriend. Thought it was his wife, but his girlfriend. And so he gets fined $25,000 by the NBA because, as we know, his comments and his reaction was not condoned by the league. However, after an investigation, the Utah Jazz looked at social media, looked at videos that were posted that they had access to, and talked to fans that were sitting around this guy who provoked Russell Westbrook. I knew they would. I told you, fans love to tattle. You just give them a chance and they will tell you exactly what happened. They'll point out the guy that threw the debris on the field or threw the beer can on the field. And so because of that, the Jazz fan has been banned for life from the arena, which I believe is a great move. Send a message that you support the players, number one. Number two, that for the other fans around this guy, for the fan experience, that kind of crap won't be tolerated. And it was, I think, fairly expected to see and hear the number of NBA players who came to Russell Westbrook's defense. And this is guys that he competes against and competes against hard. But they have all been in that situation more than likely. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all with your car insurance at geico.com. Let's talk to David, who's in Dallas. David, welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy. I sent you a text last night that said 41 road chances for people to do it. He had to do something. But when I was on last night, I was holding, and I remember when the tide turned to where fans were getting held accountable. I don't know how young you are, but Vernon Maxwell was a rocket. And when he went after a fan, he was seven rows up into the section before they caught him. What the fan had done was had heckled him about his dead daughter. He lost his baby that season, and the fan was heckling him about that.
This is cruel.
That was cruel. And that was when I think that they really decided that fan accountability has got to be raised up some. But yesterday I was telling your screener about the most hilarious clapback I've ever seen to a heckle. Now, college student bodies are the best at heckling. And so I had a cousin that played at UT Knoxville. And every year we'd go to LSU to watch them play in Baton Rouge. Well, they were getting beat bad in the second half. And their center made a three-pointer. And just coming down the court, the referees blew his whistle and tossed the kid out. And we couldn't figure out what happened. Well, we always would go to dinner after the game. And so I asked my cousin, I said, what did he do? He said, Gus, I meant not to mention his name. But the player was legally blind, and the LSU student body had been harassing him for four seasons. So when he nailed that three-pointer, he went down the whole side of the student body and flipped with two hands, double-flipped off the whole student body section. I thought, man, that's the best clapback ever. Have a good one. I enjoy your show.
Thank you, David. I appreciate the call from Dallas. That would be pretty impressive. And he waited 4 years to do it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Dave, who's in Youngstown, Ohio. Dave, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Hey, with the scandal, with the money and the college entries and stuff, think about all the parents now that are mad because their kid was 1 year off of them paying the money to help get them into the college they wanted.
Yeah, no, I agree. There were some worthy students who did the work themselves who got left out of maybe the school of their choice because these other spots were purchased. Or, now, I don't know, I mean, you know there are certain numbers of scholarships that can be given out to athletic recruits. So is it possible that a coach was using these names as fake recruits and maybe that took away from the number of athletes who were, who were able to get scholarships? I'm not exactly sure if they were phantom scholarships, but at some point, you know, the numbers have to add up, and it makes me angry. If I'm a student, if I'm a parent, it's despicable. And also, the whole idea that the students didn't know, so that was kind of a question that came out on Tuesday. The parents were buying their way into these elite schools, but the students didn't know. But how is that possible? I mean, I feel like you know what you're capable of and what you don't, and you sure as hell know if you didn't earn a score on an SAT that just magically appeared.
Yes, exactly, and we'll have to wait and see if they do a full investigation, which would take some time, or they kind of pay money and brush it under the carpet and move on. But one last thing, I woke up this morning to the Odell Beckham thing for the Browns, and again, another dynamite move by the Browns trying to go forward with this team. What's next? Like, you know, what's going to happen next, and who's the next great player to come our way and help out?
Well, do you need more this season? This season, do you feel like you need even more?
No, I just think it's amazing that a team that went from, you know, rock bottom to making some moves that are stunning the NFL. I mean, Odell Beckham, I heard the rumors the other day, and I thought, no, they can't make that move. Here, all of a sudden, he's a Cleveland Browns now.
Right. No, it's huge. And it all goes back to, I think, the hiring of John Dorsey. Granted, you know, they have to make the right choices and the players have to get into camp like Baker Mayfield. They have to be ready and they have to work hard. But John Dorsey has shown such an aggressiveness as well as a wisdom and experience that the Browns just hadn't had in a long time. And as much as the Haslam family deserves grief for the revolving door of general managers and front office members and coaches, the fact is they gave John Dorsey the reins and he has proven worthy of this responsibility.
Yeah. Hey, love the show, Amy. Have a blessed day.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate your call from Youngstown. All right, so a couple of things I wanted to pass along before we get to our break here, just because a lot of you are talking about how the balance of power has shifted in the AFC North. Now, this comes from the NFL Research Twitter account. This is not from a Browns fan. It's not from an analyst. This is from the NFL Research Twitter account, which is actually very helpful in season. They put out some incredible numbers that I would never have time to go and to do myself. This is the tweet. The new AFC North. The Browns add Odell Beckham, Olivier Vernon, Kareem Hunt, and Sheldon Richardson. The Ravens lost C.J. Mosley, Za'Darius Smith, John Brown, Terrell Suggs, and Eric Weddle. Ouch. Not to mention Joe Flacco, though, of course, he was already the loser of that whole starting quarterback competition. The Steelers lost Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. The Bengals re-signed Bobby Hart and C.J. Uzomah. So clearly, if you're looking at addition in terms of playmakers, the Browns are far and away the most active and on paper the most successful, and we haven't even gotten to the start of the NFL league year. In fact, it begins 11 and a half hours from now. So that is the new, quote-unquote, AFC North. Also, in 70 seasons as a franchise, the Browns have never had a player record a 1,300 plus yard season and a 10 plus receiving touchdown campaign at the same time. So no receiver has ever gone over 1,300 yards and had at least 10 receiving touchdowns. But in his first five seasons, Beckham did it three times. Now, the point that I made earlier, I think, is important. It's critical. He has to stay healthy. Only once in his 5 years with the Giants did he play all 16 games. Was it his first year that he got suspended one game, or was that his second? I can't remember. He had a 1,400-yard receiving season. I think that was his second year with the Browns. That may have been the season he played all 16 games. If I'm not mistaken, he was suspended one game as a rookie. Maybe. I think that he played 15 games his rookie campaign. Yeah, he was a Pro Bowler first 3 years in the NFL, but there was a suspension in there for one game. Maybe that was the whole Josh Norman thing, wasn't it? That was the year that he and Josh Norman were tackling each other, right? And they both ended up getting suspended. So maybe that wasn't his rookie year. But if there was one season where he didn't miss because of injury, he missed because he got suspended. But the last 2 years, 2015 suspended, thank you. The last 2 years, he's missed more games than he's played because of injury. And so there is that concern. All right, I have to go record a CBS Sports Minute. It's going to be about Odell Beckham Jr. Surprise, surprise. Don't forget your last-minute questions for Ask Amy Anything on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much for all of your tweets, your Facebook posts. Certainly a happy new year for teams like the Cleveland Browns and others. I would say the Jets have done pretty well with C.J. Mosley as well as Le'Veon Bell. There are others, too. I like the Packers' moves on defense to shore up both their lines, offensive and defensive lines. So a lot happening even as we approach the NFL new year. Does that mean we get to have a holiday, take the day off? I mean, New Year's Day is supposed to be a federal holiday, right? What's happening around here? Actually, I'd rather be in this seat than anywhere else, for sure. Producer Chris, he will only eat a chocolate chip cookie after he gets through this particular segment.
T-minus 12 minutes and counting. And this first question's a little lengthy, so you might be able to get a bite of your apple in between.
No,
here.
Stop it.
Luna says, Amy! Exclamation point. Have you seen / heard about the new theme park, Star Wars Galaxy Edge, opening in Disneyland May 31st in Orlando August 29th? It's supposed to be architecturally correct to a Star Wars village / city.
I have heard about this, and I'm very excited. I haven't been to Disney in a long time, mostly because I am allergic to the type of crowds that go to Disney, and also because it owns my previous employer, so I've stayed away. But I am running a Star Wars half marathon, the Disney Star Wars half marathon next year, and I'm hoping that it somehow involves this new spectacle. So yes, at some point I will need to see it and explore it. Every now and then people send me pictures or these virtual reality videos that kind of take you through. I think it's going to be amazing. As you can imagine, Disney sparing no expense because this is now their franchise, the Star Wars franchise.
Arturo wants to know, what is your single favorite thing about having a sports talk radio show?
I get to do what I love for a job. You know, I'm not going to tell you it doesn't feel like work. That whole phrase about if you find something that you love, you'll never feel like you work a day in your life, that's BS. I mean, it's work. These hours are hard. We're about to go into another extremely busy stretch where every single evening of every single week is accounted for with college basketball tournament games and then NBA and NHL playoff games. So it's definitely work. During football season, we work 6, if not 7 days a week. And so it is work, but at least I'm pouring my brain power, my efforts, my long hours, my blood, sweat, and tears into something I believe in and something that fits my skills and abilities. I'm creative, but I'm creative when it comes to making an entertaining radio show. And I think the other part of that is that it's something I can be proud of. So the shows are different every single night. The storylines are constantly changing. So there's never a dull moment. I mean, sports is all consuming, and it's fun to be able to immerse ourselves in something that we enjoy.
David says,
I know. Just like that, the music drops out and there's this dead silence. Like,
It was the exclamation point to your point.
I guess.
It faded.
I left you speechless.
Exactly. Dave?
Dave.
We blame Dave for that one.
No, it was perfection.
Terry says, if you could be the Major League Baseball commissioner for a day and could make one
change. Why all these sports questions? What's up with that?
I don't know. Okay. To the game that would impact the league for years to come, what change would you make?
I would stop freaking worrying about 2 minutes taken off of every baseball broadcast. Unless you fundamentally change the game, there's no way that you're going to shorten the games enough that people actually notice. From 3 hours and 5 minutes to 3 hours and 2 minutes, it doesn't matter. I would say that if I could, now this is impossible to do, but if I could, I would see more of the small ball, more of the bunting, more of the station to station, more of the moving runners along, as opposed to the constantly swinging for the fences. I know home runs are fun, but I will say that that has done more to turn me off to baseball when it's hours maybe of no one being on base. And then it's a couple of home runs, and that's your excitement. I want more balls in play. I want more, more attempts to move a guy from base to base and manufacture a run. We just don't see that nearly as much anymore. So I know I can't change that, but I wish we could go back to, when they're starting in Little League and then going through high school and college, and where there's a value placed on average and hitting for volume as opposed to hitting for power only.
Commissioner Amy 2020, let's make it happen. I'm behind it. I'll start the petition. Ron just sent in a funny one on our Facebook page. Why do you dislike LOL so much? And then he used three LOL faces.
It's not just LOL, though. That to me is the poster child for what Twitter and Facebook and now texting are, where what we can't actually spell out a word. Either we're too lazy, we don't have enough time, or we just can't spell, which by God is a major problem in our society these days. So it bothers me that people are either lazy or really feel like they can't take the time to write out a word. It just, to me, it's taking shortcuts in our communication. So honestly, this is an underlying issue for me. It's not just, again, LOL. It's about feeling like electronic communication is a poor substitute for face-to-face conversation or even vocal conversation. So on the phone, having a conversation where you can hear another person's voice and their inflections and you can really get to know them. Feel like we have this false sense of community because we use our phones. But social media is not social. There's nothing about it. It actually divides us and keeps us apart as opposed to bringing us all together. You may feel like you have a million friends because you are on social media, but it's a different type of, I think, of false confidence and a different type of false security that's not healthy for our society. So I'm sad that communication is a lost art. I'm sad that there's not as much value placed on personal relationships and actually getting to know someone by spending time with them. So to me, that's the epitome of LOL. It's just a shortcut that's lazy and it's easy. So that's the route that we take very often.
Philosophical on this edition of Ask Amy Anything. I like it.
Hey, you asked.
Yeah, I did, and I think that was a great answer. Travis says 2019 is a great year for films, or so they say. With that in mind, what are a few films?
Star Wars.
Yep, that's it.
Episode 9. What else is there? Wait, are there, like, there's a bunch of comic book ones coming out, aren't there?
Oh, Avengers is in a couple months.
I know. So Chris is our comic book Marvel guy. What I don't know what else there is coming out. If you tell me, I just know Star Wars is coming out in 2019.
There's, I believe, also Disney is shipping out a couple remakes as well. Dumbo, Aladdin, The Lion King. I'm not sure if all of those.
What's
are
wrong with
year.
The originals?
I don't
just
know.
Put them back in theater. You cannot do better than the original Lion King. There's no way. You cannot do better. That is one of the greatest flicks of all time. In fact, I've recently thought how much fun it would be to have a show, one of those kind of mindless Twizzler Tuesday shows, where we decide on the best animated film of all time. Can you imagine the answers we will get?
So in.
Oh, yeah. Love it. Okay, so no, unless there's something else that we're missing, I'm all about the Star Wars Episode 9. I don't think that I could be more excited about a movie.
Oh, that covers it right there. Ralph says, if you want a free trip to anywhere in the world that you've never been, there's the caveat. Where
do you want to go? A free trip to anywhere in the world that I've never been. Can I make a list, like a top five? Just kidding. Probably, if I didn't have to pay for it, it would be Israel. I really want to go and explore the Holy Land. And it's not cheap, obviously, to go halfway across the globe. But Australia would be a very close second. I would love to see Sydney and the Outback. So those two, just because of how far away they are and the amount of money you have to pay for plane tickets, those would be two places that I would say are tops on my list. But if somebody wants to pay for me to take a trip to Hawaii, boom, done. Those are top three.
David wants to know where your favorite NASCAR track is located. He also sends a shout out to Penny.
Oh, hi, Pen. Penny is snoring right now, guaranteed. So my dog is almost 10. She sleeps. So I try to remember, she's like a 7-year-old woman now. Slower than molasses. Our walks take forever, mostly because she's still stop, dropping, and rolling in every pile of snow that's in the neighborhood. But that dog sleeps. She can sleep through anything except football. She doesn't like football, so she leaves the living room. But thank you, David. It was David for saying hello to Penny. I forgot the question.
Classic. Sorry. He wants to know where your favorite NASCAR track is.
Oh, Talladega. Big fan of Talladega. It's awesome. It's restrictor plate racing. I had season tickets there for 10 years. Really enjoyed the track because of the banks, especially in turn one, but also because of the challenges, the tunnel turn, la, 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 la. So, yeah, Talladega is my favorite. But I really enjoyed working at Phoenix. Phoenix has got two different, very different ends to the track. And so the setup in one end doesn't necessarily help you in the setup with the setup at the other end. Trying to think of some of the other ones. I worked in New Hampshire, though that one's kind of boring. Sorry. Live Free or Die. But that track is kind of boring. But that's where I met Dale Earnhardt before he died. So it will forever hold a place in my heart. Plus, it's like in my backyard where I grew up in Concord, New Hampshire. But Talladega is the answer.
Talladega, nice.
Talladega. No, just Talladega.
Or Talladega.
They filmed that movie when I was there, though. I mean, it was a Sunday when I was there, and they needed the entire stands to be full of fans. So they filmed it an hour before the green flag dropped on the race.
That's one of Dave's favorite movies.
Oh, is it? That's Will Ferrell, right? Wait, I can't hear you. You're off mic for some reason.
That's Chris's mic. I just turned him back on. I'm a big Will Ferrell guy.
Yeah, no, he was there. They told us when to cheer. So he would say a few things, and then they told us when to, like, let her rip.
We're noticing a theme with some of Dave's drops. He really likes to hammer the Will Ferrell drops.
That's okay.
He's funny.
He is funny.
Come to the defense of your guy, Dave. Robert wants to know, just wondering if you've ever narrated or announced radio commercials.
Yes, Southern Recipe Pork Rinds during the NFL season all over Westwood One. And I can't tell you the number of tweets and texts from family and friends, but tweets from listeners that I got who heard it. So hallelujah for that. They didn't pay me for nothing.
That's absolutely right. Josh wants to know, do you have a top five list of 80s movies?
Shoot. Was Gremlins in the 80s?
I believe it was.
Was Goonies in the 80s?
I believe it was as well.
When did Karate Kid come out?
That's a good question.
Somebody quick, look that up. Dave, you have nothing better to do. I'm kidding. I'm totally joking. Karate Kid is my all-time favorite movie.
1984.
Okay, so Karate Kid. When was Empire Strikes Back? Was that early 80s? I feel like Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi were both in the 80s. Which, if that's the case, I just made my top five, did I not?
1980, yeah.
Oh, boom! I freaking killed that!
That was...
Any more questions?
Yeah, we'll try to squeeze in one more off the cuff here. Bobby wants to know, who's your favorite athlete of all time?
Larry Bird. Also in the 80s.
Look at that. Ties
short shorts,
ties
baby. You know what my niece tells me? The 80s are back. That's what she said. I got that at Christmas. The 80s are back, Auntie Amy. And now everyone wants to be like the 80s. Except you can't. We're originals. Often imitated, never duplicated. How about that? Oh my gosh. I have an adrenaline surge like nobody's business for answering questions about movies in the 80s. The 80s channel on Sirius XM, that's one of my brother's favorites. So whenever we're in the car, that's some of the stuff we listen to. Now that made me happy. All right, coming up, Happy New Year to you NFL fans, Browns fans, Jets fans. We get all the deets. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.